This week on Potlatch, writer Nielsen, a Danish actor and playwright, describes an Eskimo theater group he helped found in Denmark. About 2.5 years ago, writer Nielsen helped start a theater group for Greenlanders living in Denmark. He told me this group started from a house where Greenlanders could meet their countrymen in Denmark. Originally, the Greenlanders provided their own entertainment, and from this entertainment, the theater group started. Nielsen trains Greenlander students until they learn everything he can teach them. He hopes gradually to lose his role as teacher when students can conduct their own training and perhaps go back to Greenland to start a theater group there. He said he doesn't want to start the group in Greenland himself because such a group would be too much under his influence. The group already has performed in a number of places in the Arctic, including Barrow, Alaska, where I met him, and the Faroe Islands and Iceland. Nielsen believes the play has such widespread appeal that the Faroe Islanders acted as if the play were written for them alone. It's hard to describe the play, especially if you don't speak Eskimo, but it's fairly obvious the play shows two persons who fall under the influence and later the control of evil forces. The rest of the play shows they're freeing themselves from these forces. After one of the performances in Barrow, I remarked that the play had a pattern of rising and falling action, very much like those English plays I studied in school.
You could say it is a part of Japanese tradition. You could say it's a part of Sami tradition. You could say it's a part of West Indonesia tradition, because it is a part, it's an ever-running story at any time in any culture, this. It's not specific Eskimo, it's not specific Norwegian, it's not specific European, but these are the elements that you find in any religion, in any culture. It's man's struggle with himself.
Speaking of the Beatles, I noticed in one of the performances of the play a refrain, ya, 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 very much like the refrain we just heard in the Beatles song, yeah, yeah, yeah. I asked Nielsen if he wrote that segment of the play intentionally.
That it is Beatle, it's perhaps a coincidence. We wanted to use a Western tune in this part of the play to represent the total disease of mankind if you don't struggle. And the text in this Beatles song, it's a very beautiful song. It could be very beautiful if it's sung in the correct way. She loves you, yes. And since you are not an Eskimo, you did not understand what the white figure, Donak Rakartok, what he said in his ceremony. He said something like that there are only one God, and that, oh, I don't know this word. In Danish it is, in Norwegian it is fremskritt, and that is progress, all the time, progress. Production, yes. It's only one God, it's progress. And in the name of progress, I demand, or I declare, that man is dead. You are my slaves. And to picturize this comes this total grotesque dance, which represent the total fall, if you are not aware of it. Afterwards, after this dance, it goes slowly out, and the people get lost. And here, they cry for help. They cry for help to find their souls. Man cries for help to find peace within himself. So, don't think about this as a Beatles song. No. Try to see it in this respect, in this connection.
Nielsen explained to some extent how the play deals more with feelings and action than with words.
Behind this play, it's a study of about 52 old myths from Canada, Alaska, and Greenland. And it's a study of all written about Greenland in Danish papers, in Greenlandish papers, for about a year's time. And these two written sources has been our starting point for improvisation. It took us nearly one year to build this performance. The thing is, through the improvisations, find each single actor's true, not feeling, but true expression for these things. Because every man, every single man, has his own way of behaving, his own way of moving, singing, dancing. Yes. But we have the discotheque culture. You go to a discotheque and dance. It's not dance. It's a kind of happening again. Yeah. It's a kind of the same thing. But when you come beneath the discotheque dance, you start to find something that is that makes you good, that makes you feel good. And through a long work of improvisations here, we have used the part when we felt good. And then we have used these bricks and laid the mosaic, which has resulted in this performance. No ambition, I'm just disillusioned. I'm
Performance of a group called The Kinks in 20th Century Man. I asked if Nilsson plans to translate his play and perform it as a touring theatrical group.
No, no, he don't. Certainly not. We are not a... first I have to say, we are not a performing group and we are not a repertoire theater. And I think that this play could be done by no other, and I think it would be wrong if they did it. If they did it, they had to go through a very long process. And if a group is willing to do that, they will get the material. That's okay. But I don't want to publish this as an ordinary play because it is so dependent on each single actor and the way he treats this stuff, if it should be a good performance. And it's very few theaters that... or very few actors that would be able to do that just like that because it does not follow the traditional theater.
Nilsson explained to me how the Greenland Theater Group relates to the Eskimo tradition of storytelling.
You find in the storytelling, in the true storytelling, the total equipment for theater. It's so simple. In order to make a theater, you need two things. You need one actor, and you need at least one spectator, and with this you can make a theater. Why we say that we try to build upon the tradition of the old storytelling in Greenland is that when you experience a small room filled with 30-40 people and one man sitting telling something that he himself has experienced, he uses his whole body even more than he uses words. Look at his eyes, his face, his arms. He cannot sit still. A very good actor. If an actor could be that good, it would be splendid. If you look at the audience or the listeners, you can see that their eyes are wide open and their mouths are wide open and they follow. The walls of the room are torn down and you can see the sea if it's a story from the sea. Or you are taken up to the mountains. You see, it is such an intimate atmosphere that the first time I experienced this, I didn't know a word of Kalafisut, the native language. But then I knew what he was telling out of the way he told it. I get a... It's the greatest theater I ever met, is that single old man sitting there telling to these 30 people.
Nielsen explained why he prefers performing in front of small audiences.
That's because we want a direct contact with everyone in the room. And when it's 500-600 men in a room and four young people in the middle and an open place, you see, it's very difficult to get that intimate contact, which we need. We want this because we believe in the direct confrontation. Yes. I mean, we force ourselves in the sense that we are not allowed to lie. We cannot lie, because the actor is as close to the audience as I am sitting on you.
Closer. Well, I was sitting in the front row, and I was touched, literally, and figuratively and literally, by one of your participants, and it was a new experience in theater for me in Barrow, Alaska.
Yeah, but you see, this very near contact with the audience could work as a kind of shock, and that is bad if it's only a shock. But still, you can see the eyes. And how many actors can you see the eyes on a stage in a room with 500 people? Yes. You can see the eyes. You can hear the smoothest breathing. Yes. That means that it could turn up a situation where it's no action, where it's no word said, and you still have the experience.
I commented on one segment of the play where the evil forces scare the main characters. At a very dramatic point in the play, where the evil forces are most frightening, a small dog wandered onto the enclosed stage. The evil force character turned and growled. The little dog saw him and yelped in fear and ran away. I asked Nielsen if the dog were part of the play.
No, but we were discussing it after the performance. Perhaps you should try to buy this dog or try to give him a contract and follow us on the tour. No, but you see, this way of acting and this way of training actors creates actors that could take all these situations. I think this dog was wonderful. And I think Isaiah, in the shape of the god Amu, was wonderful when he did this. Very good. And that, you see, is again the part of this kind of theater. It's that you, from the very beginning of the play, or even some minutes before the play, you are so deeply concentrated, so that you live with this. The framework is there. The performance is a frame. Every evening, the actor has to give this frame blood and meat. Yes. And by giving it blood and meat, they can turn any situation and handle any situation like this. Thank you.
That next segment of The Kinks was Complicated Life. Nielsen commented on the wide appeal of his play.
We get a lot of interest around where we come with this play. In the beginning, because it is an Eskimo theater. It's Greenlanders actors. But when they've seen the performance, they can see that it is something valued for anybody. And this should be taken as a token of that the main political questions at all should be the cultural political questions. And all other things that should be decided should go through this. That should be the base. And I think this is very necessary. I know that we in the Western society forget this totally. We are always thinking about the logical things and all these things. We forget. We forget the soul. And here I think that our performance is a rather important one in this sense, also for Westerners. The white man, me, I'm struggling to rediscover this. You, we have lost our possibility of expressing ourselves in pictures, to paint with words. Because what we talk, it's mechanical, a bit.
Although Nielsen does not want to translate the play, he will allow others to adapt his play under certain conditions.
As we saw the play, it's impossible, and I would reject to give a description of how to play this play, because the one who should direct this play then should work very intimately with the actors and use quite some time. We very well could translate the words, but you see, the words is just one part. The words is just a small part. And this we could do, and this we have done. We have translated it into English, we have translated it into in Danish and in Greenlandish, and now some of the stuff was translated into Inupiaq and read before the performance. And this is okay, you see. But I would not translate it as a play, but the words said there, the few words said in the performance are so important, so this might go around as poems. If it should be a play, I would send one of the actors to work with the other group, or I could go myself if he had time and if he was willing to it, but that would be necessary. I will not leave this performance to anybody. It has to be made in the same spirit which we make it. If not, it's nonsense to play it. But if they do that, it's okay. So if a group are interested, they can come to our place for a month, and we could work with them, and they can put it up very well. But that must be the background for using this performance. It should not be sold in the bookstores like that.
Ryder Nielsen talking about the Tocht Theater in Greenland. This is Jeff Kennedy. Thanks for listening.
Potlatch came to you from KUAC in Fairbanks. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting gave some of the money to produce this program.
From the University of Alaska, this has been a KUAC production.